plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit then.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again.
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. Do you hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night.
I think he got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Hello and welcome to a Warriors plus minus heading into the All-Star break edition. Warriors play a late night Thursday game before the break, one of only six teams in action tonight. So it is now the All-Star break, and it arrived in an interesting fashion. 140-137 in regulation, they beat the Jazz and nearly had another disaster, giveaway game.
They should have lost.
Yeah. How about the John Collins pass in the fifth row? That was wild. But we will get to some of the mechanisms that almost cost them the game and should kind of concern them. But the story, obviously, of the day is Klay Thompson. Comes off the bench for the first time since March 2012. Do you guys, Marcus Thompson, would you have been a beat writer covering that game?
Yeah. I was a beat writer covering that game, and he was the bench guy back then. What was the date? March? I think that Monte.
I wrote a lead tonight that included that game. So they play the Clippers in L.A. Chauncey Billups is on those Clippers, by the way. Chris Paul led the Clippers. And he comes off the bench with Nate Robinson. They both played 19 minutes. Monte and Steph started. But do you know why Klay moved into the starting lineup the next
because
game?
Because they traded Monte in Sacramento.
Nope. What happened? This was Klay's rookie season. Monte gets traded the next season. This is Steph Curry's final game of his third season because he's having the ankle problems.
The ankle.
So he actually replaces Steph in the starting lineup because Steph didn't finish that season. Now, by the time Steph gets back, Klay's established. But just kind of an interesting piece of history. And also just, wow, it's been a long time. 727 consecutive games. His first start was against the Kings, who had Chuck Hayes on the team. Chuck Hayes is now in the Warriors front office. So a lot of randomness. But, all the numbers suggested Steve Kerr should have made the move. He said he's been thinking about it, but it still was bold and a little surprising that he actually did it.
Well, what do we always say? Draymond's come off the bench. Steph's come off the bench in playoff games. Draymond came off the bench and after he was suspended in the Sacramento series. They all sit on, at some point, whether that's symbolism, whatever, they've all taken their turns on the bench. And Klay's the one who, if he got hurt a little bit, he went right back in the starting lineup. If he was struggling, he's in. There's not even a question. He's starting games. He's closing games. He's the one guy out of that group who had never, Andre Iguodala, goes to the bench permanently at the start of this thing. Klay's mindset was he never was going to. So it was a big thing, huge thing for Kerr to decide to do it, to tell Klay was doing it, and for Klay to accept it all kind of happening at once. But I think Klay was ready for it. It took a long time, took a lot of struggling, took a really struggled game last night, and maybe he was ready for it.
Mentally, last night matters because he doesn't close, which has become a regular occurrence lately of him not closing. But they actually put him in as a spacer with 40 seconds left, and he commits a really bad foul that Steve was clearly upset about. And I don't know if that's the final thing that kind of, pushed
him. He missed a shot, too. Yeah, he missed a shot.
Yeah, I think the foul, though, just the way the reaction to the foul, the sternness from Kerr about it post-game. And also the other thing is, I think if you do this now, Friday news dump it a little bit and also allow Klay to think about it over the break. Maybe there's a little of that to it. I don't know. Marcus, what's your read on why now?
I do feel like there was a turning point last game because that foul, just the way they start kind of falling apart when Klay is chasing and he's struggling to chase him. But I think the bigger thing, and Steve talked about it, is Klay's legs. I think they just want to play him fewer minutes. I think they need him around, 26 instead of pushing 30 because they feel like he's better that way. So to me, like watching the end of that game, I don't know if Steve is directly prescribing that foul and the missed shot to fatigue, but you know, he's been talking about it. He wants him to play fewer minutes, but also think I've been saying it for a long time. You need another dude on the court who can handle the rock and maybe get in it. But Jimski's doing a really good job at breaking the paint. You can't just be Steph, like off the dribble taking guys. I think they want some of that to start the game. So I was actually a bit surprised. It feels like a after the All-Star break move, though, don't it? Right? You get the time to practice. I was kind of shocked he did it on this night, but I do think the legs and the back-to-back was like, let me bring you off the bench and you can keep your minutes down this game.
One thing I noticed last night was when Kerr was talking about Pajemski, you notice he said he's one of our best players. I don't know if he said that before. He's praised him. You know, he likes him. We know he's playing him, but I don't think he's ever said that. And I like going, okay, wait a minute. Are you saying now he's one of your, like, three best players? You know, you say that, a coach says that when he's thinking, I need this guy to have a more prominent role. Now, again, he's probably going to play Pajemski about the same minutes. He was playing him a ton, and he had started games, obviously, when guys miss games. But I just think he also thinks, I want Pajemski with Steph. I want those two guys together. And like you said, MT, it's like another ball handler. Now, Pajemski wasn't great handling the ball tonight. Like, he was getting into trouble and throwing up some wild shots, but a guy who can get, you know, two dribbles and get to the rim or two dribbles and make it pass. I said on Twitter that CP3 does some of that stuff, and Warriors Twitter, of course, hates CP3 for some reason. I think CP3 is going to be getting some of those minutes, and that might really cut down Clay's minutes too. But you're still going to need him for this stuff. And if he shoots this well and plays this well, he's going to close games. But they do need someone else who's not afraid to dribble into traffic and then dribble out of traffic. They've got some guys who panic. Jonathan Kuminga absolutely panicked with the ball when it was 5-on-3, by the way. Maybe the worst turnover of the season. Wiggins did not want the ball in the fourth quarter tonight. They need one other guy. And Draymond can't be the guy all the time. He's 6'6", and he's got some big guys in traffic. And Pajemski can do some of those things. And, you know, Chris Paul, when he's ready, can do some of those things. Clay can't do some of those things. And, you know, they need someone else who can dribble and make decisions and pass. And I think this was part of the decision, too.
So
what were you saying about Chris Paul, though? What did you say about Chris Paul?
I said that's why Kerr likes him. Yeah, Kerr likes him in the lineup.
Because
he can take three dribbles, stop, turn around, dribble back out, and not get panicked. And we see the Warriors get panicked with the ball, you know, when they don't have to, and CP3 can calm him down. He's small. We've talked about it. He and Steph, small backcourt, but so is Pajemski and Steph, right? You know, you're going to be small if you're playing from that assortment, but Chris Paul can do some stuff at the end of games that make things calm down a little bit. I'll tell you what, though, Clay came in and he calmed down things a couple times. You know, you make a shot, that calms things down, and you make three shots, that really calms things down. So it's just a notable milestone for Clay. I think he's acknowledging it. This is just, he's just not the same guy. He shouldn't try to be the same guy. And this is an evolution. I just heard him talk about Ginobili. It's a great thing for him to say. Like, Monta Ginobili came off the bench his whole career, and that's not stopping him from going to the Hall of Fame. He could also note Andre Iguodala if he wanted. You know, he became even more valuable when he became the sixth man. So
it's Ray just Allen, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Ray Allen. Allen. This is the, a comp for a player. This is an important time for him, and if he was fighting it, it would be really hard for the Warriors. And he didn't fight it, and he just explodes shooting the ball. If he can just do this.
So he wasn't happy. I mean, Steve even said it. Like, he did not – I'm not sure he took the news well, but he responded well, right? I mean, and I think that's kind of what you're getting to. But, yeah, like 35 tonight. We should probably just mention, beyond just, like, the bigger picture, like, you know, impact of the decision – I don't know. They've kind of tried to portray it post-game, like Kerr talking about more firepower off the bench. Clay saying, well, he'll be more of a focal point of the second unit. Like, the starting lineup has proven to be really good with Pajemski. What do you guys think about Clay, like, in the lineups that he'll now be in that'll differentiate it a little bit?
Yeah.
Like, is that – yeah.
Yeah, he's going to, you know, have a little more free reign. Maybe, you know, a bad shot when he's with Steph doesn't look as bad when it's – when Steph's not out there, you get those non-Steph minutes. you know, a little more free thinking and, you know, a little more like I can just run my stuff and just feel like I'm doing my stuff. I think also a sidestep, most of the movie's not going to play anymore, guys. He's not going to play anymore. it's going to be really, if they got Pajemski starting and Clay's got to play another 26 minutes, I don't know where Moody's going to play unless they can carve out some small forward minutes for him. That's just a side note.
Not playing, man.
Yeah, yeah. Moody's not. This is the Moody's not playing move of all. You know, no question. But it's a little. You know, we've talked about it. There's pressure when you're on the court with Steph, and we know Clay hasn't really felt it through his career, but I think he's felt it last few years. And one missed shot when Steph's on the court feels like four missed shots because Steph could be shooting that ball. So, you know, I think in a formulation where Clay can be on that second unit and feel comfortable, it's a way for him to think about it. It shouldn't be that different, but maybe the mindset is. And you can still close. He closed both halves. First half over Wiggins and the second half, you know, kind of over Kuminga. And there's a few, you know, maybe Pajemski was out for a little bit of that. You know, I just think it can free him up a little bit. Now he can still get, if he doesn't shoot well and he plays 18 minutes, he's not going to be thrilled with that, but that's the life now of a six man. Like you run hot and cold, and if you're not making the shots, you're not going to play as much. That's the way it goes. If he makes shots, he's going to play 30. What did he play? 28 minutes tonight, and he could have played more.
I need to give credit to Warriors expert Monte Ellis, era expert Marcus Thompson. Monte Ellis was also traded at that same exact time that Curry was shut down. So. You can pick and choose whichever one he replaced in the starting.
I remember that because Nate Robinson would start instead of Steph in those games. But once they traded Monte, because I remember that was at Arco, and Monte thought he was playing. He was getting dressed, and next thing you know, on the ticker, I'm pretty sure it was Woj broke the story on the video screen in the locker room that he got traded, and then he got undressed and he just left.
And they traded Monte to start Clay. Like, that's why we remember.
They were like, that was like, all right, Clay's the starting two guard. It's Steph and Clay from here on out, right? Like, that's what it was, yeah. I remember that game specifically, but.
What happened about 7 days later, MT? Like, 6 days later? What, anything you remember happened about a little bit after that? Chris Mullin Knight and Joe Legas. Because he booed out of
the retirement jersey. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Because
people were mad about the jersey. Yeah. That's how far back when Warriors fans were fierce that they traded Monte because he was the superstar. So, anyway, that's me.
And, which brings up another story that TK is going to love, Slater. We've been going through this for, a decade now? It was supposed to be Steph traded, right?
Yep. Well, still lingering rumors about that. Yep. That's
so funny.
Milwaukee was supposedly looking at both of them, so you know it could have been theoretically. But Nomonte was traded in order to get Clay into the lineup. That was exactly what happened, and Clay has been the starter ever since. It's been Monte to Clay, and now to Pajemski. I don't know. Is Pajemski going to start for 11 years in a row now? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Slater, what do you think? Because Steve said, on the clip they showed on TV, that, you know, they're going to try it out and see how it goes. Do you think Clay is thinking he can, like, play his way back into the start lineup? Because if he starts playing well, it almost feels like, yeah, see, you're better off the
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City, with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful, designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
Yeah, I mean... It's going to be an interesting push and pull. I'll say that. He was in for Wiggins at one point to close tonight because Pajemski, he was on the floor of Pajemski, and they're fine with that at times. I think he was on for Kuminga, kind of had a little bit of an off night also. So if we're talking starting, I don't know. Like, that's going to, it'll be a question mark. I mean, he said he's not permanent, so he's not committed to it. But, you know, when Chris Paul's coming back, Chris Paul is probably going to, you know, want to start at times, certainly going to want to close at times. So this is the questions of the second half. But, you know,
can you imagine bringing Paul and Clay off the bench? Like, what universe is this?
By the way, for a 20-year-old rookie who turns 21 next month, it's shocking. But, you know, this, I appreciate your alley-oop here. I have a really big Pajemski story coming out. I think it's going to come out next Tuesday. They pushed it back. That just kind
of A1, baby? A1? Are we going A1? Yes,
that's
it. Oh, Slater's big time now. Big time.
Is that two in a month?
Oh, man. Hey. Wow.
It's a hijacking, all right? I'll just say that. But the I mean, it's just like kind of encapsulates, like, you know, how quickly he's risen organizationally to everyone at every level, and, you know, how they drafted him, why they drafted him, and what all the veterans think about him, with a bunch of behind the scenes stories. But I mean, he thinks he got a chance to be a future all-star, and there are people in that locker room, like Draymond Green has a quote in the story basically like pointing down at Steph going like, you know, he could be the successor to Steph. Not that he's going to be Steph. Not that he's going to become the Hall of Fame player that Steph is, but, like, you know, like, he, like, there is a belief that he has a high, high ceiling. Higher than maybe we would say.
Yeah, I think Lacob said all-star to me. I can't remember exactly what he said. He obviously loves Pajemski. I think he said all-star. Like, he could be an all-star.
Start to shoot it, by the way. Yeah. Really start to shoot
it. Yeah, if he shoots, then he's a really important player. Oh, no, he did. Yeah, he shot a couple actual jump shots, and if he does that, I think he can shoot it. He just doesn't do it. He has to, and he does. I mean, I don't know. Slater, maybe look up the stats. Just off the top of my head, I just think he plays really well with Steph. I don't know what the numbers say, but it just feels like he's a good complement to Steph. Like, he can move it. Like we say, he's smart. He doesn't turn it over a lot, and he, you know, if he's starting to hit the three, he spaces it out a little bit. It just feels like that's a big part of this, is doing what's best for Steph, doing what works with Steph. And Pajemski is a nice complement to Steph. And, you know, it takes those charges. He does things defensively, rebounds the ball. These are just all good things to have with that opening group. And maybe more, and, you know, Wiggins sometimes doesn't have energy. I don't think he had a ton of energy tonight. So Pajemski brings energy. You know, there's just things he does that fits with the starting group with Steph, that, okay, he's going to get minutes. And then if he gets minutes, he's going to do stuff. And he always, like, things, positive things happen when Pajemski's out there. So it doesn't mean he's going to close every half, but I think what they're seeing is it works with Steph. And if it works for Steph, it works for them. That's the big picture.
For the sake of pods, can I just say, everybody should just calm down because there's a guy, we've talked about this before. I feel like this is a conversation we've had, and we saw how that went. But Jordan Poole was a successor. And there are still hurdles for him to get through.
No doubt.
So I think it's important to just say, hey, hold on.
No question.
Like you're saying, Tim, it's great nexus, Steph. Like, let's see what happens when now they're saying, let's take away Pajemski. And we're seeing him finishing at the rim, to me, that's the most encouraging thing. I mean, he had a couple of those weird floaters, them high arcing in the fourth quarter. Like, yeah, cut that out. He can get to the rim. He can, you know, he can lay it. You're starting to see him have some of these counters. But there is a very, very, very massive benefit when you're playing with Steph. That,
no question.
You got to make it translate.
I would say the big stunning difference with Pajemski is, like, he's doing it as a rookie, and he's doing it in winning ways, and he's doing it on the defense.
And he's doing it on the other end. That's the thing, yeah.
Rebounder, he leads the league in charges taken. Kerr compared him to Kerr coached Austin Reeves this summer, Team USA, and the way Austin Reeves defends, he's like, he sees a lot of that.
But see, there's another thing though. Like, look at Reeves. Like, he's not right. It's like, all right. So I don't want to put that on him, but I see the potential there. To me, he's got to be able to get from three-point line to the rim with consistency, and he's got to make his free throws. Like, he gets those two things, he's at least going to be an incredibly valuable third or fourth player. And I actually think I know what you're saying. TK is right. Like, he's great with Steph, but I actually like him running the second unit. I mean, I really do like him out there. They play so much faster. He's ripping up and down the court, and him driving and weaving out creates all these lanes for, you know, Kuminga and openings for Clay. Like, I actually think as a rookie, he's doing a good job leading the second unit. So I like what he's doing. So like, hey, let's you know, we've been through this before though, because Jordan Poole looked like this was his franchise for a while.
And, no, you guys, yeah, you guys might have thought that. I was not saying that about Jordan Poole, but it's a whole other story.
But even after a while, you were like, okay,
oh, he can score. Yeah, he can score. Yeah, he's six man, but yeah, you know, we'll see down the road. The problem with Pajemski running a second unit is the spacing gets a little tricky, because again, he's not the stop and pop guy. And then you start, you know, if you put GP2 out there and Kuminga's reluctant to shoot, and like, that does get a little clunky when you throw those guys out there. It's got some energy, and or Quiñones can hit a three, but he's not going to go search for a shot. That's why I think CP3 will be running the second unit again. Warriors fans will go crazy, but it will be CP3 and then some combination of Clay and Kuminga, and, you know, maybe Saric, maybe not Saric. Warriors fans go crazy again. Although Saric is playing poorly, I will say that he is not playing well, and the minutes should be kind of cut from him. And they just got to see what TJD can do. It. I think he's fumbling the ball a lot. I think Kerr really. We know that. Like, what's the way to get out of the lineup is to fumble the ball, is to be indecisive or sloppy with the ball, and he is fumbling the ball a lot. But I think, you know, just because he's young, maybe, you know, you give him some run and see where he can take it, because Saric is not good right now and terrible on defense. I don't know what he was doing tonight. But that second unit with Chris Paul, if Paul is healthy, I think you see Pajemski with Steph mostly, and you see Clay and CP. That's not too bad to have two Hall of Famers on your second unit. That is not bad. What's two first ballot Hall of Famers on your second unit. And then maybe you mix them with
now. Just convince them that this is the right coaching decision. That's the key.
Yeah, that will be very. Those locker rooms after a big loss will be very interesting. But we've said that all along, right? It was always going to be like that.
Yeah, and it just became way more crowded when Kuminga exploded and Pajemski out of nowhere. By the way, that's really like the story of Pajemski's. Like, this is it, like, he came out of nowhere.
Is he the third best rookie in the league this year after the two centers?
Hawkins is right up there. Brandon Miller's been really good, but they're. I'll tell you this: they're pushing him for all rookie first team. And he's got a very good case, and you know, because it's him, Hawkins, Brandon Miller for that kind of 3-4-5 range. We know
the New Orleans guy from UConn, pretty good too, right?
Yep, he's good.
Hawkins.
All right, I'm going to get us out of here shortly. Quickly, though, they enter the break 27-26. It seems like the Western Conference has stratified enough to where there's five teams, in my opinion, clearly below them. They beat Utah twice this week. Utah's tumbling. Houston's tumbling. You know, Spurs are already obviously down there, a couple other teams. So, to me, 10 is now the floor. I feel like maybe I'm being too ambitious there for the Warriors, but the way they're playing, 10's the floor as they exit the break. And the six is the target. You know, can they get, you know, the Kings are kind of falling right now. The Lakers are gettable, though, playing better lately. There's other teams in that range, Suns, Pelicans, Mavericks. That's the group of teams they're going to try to climb past. Again, they're playing well, but you saw it tonight. If they're just going to give away games or threaten to give away games at all times that they should win, it's going to be tough because they're going to have to win a lot.
Yeah, I think six is going to be tough. I mean, and it doesn't look like a lot, but it's a lot of teams, right? I'm saying, you know, you got to jump over a lot of teams, and one or two of those teams is going to play pretty well. And, you know, Warriors are what, they're 8-3, whatever they are over the last 11, whatever it is. So it's a nice run. I don't know if they've got a bunch of that. I don't know if they can sustain that for the whole rest of the 28 games remaining, whatever they've got left. I can see them get to seven. I think seven, if they can get to that 7-8 game, where they, you know, have two shots at it, not just one, to get into the, you know, out of the playoffs, the play-in. I think that would be not a terrible way to go. Get to that seven, get home court, play eight, maybe you win, and you know you're already in the playoffs. And you know, I think that's about where they are. They're like the seventh or eighth best team in the West, if we project even optimistically. I just don't know that four teams are going to fall by the wayside. I don't know that they're going to chase down four of those teams. There's some pretty good teams in there, right? Dallas is not a bad team. There's not, you know, there's some decent teams ahead of them. I don't know that they're all going to collapse. I don't think they're going to be tanking. You know, we saw Dallas tank last year. Get to seven. If they could get to seven, I think, and then get through into the playoffs, then what, you get two? Is that who you get? Number, you get to be, play the two seed if you win that game?
If you win the 7-8 play-in, even if you're 8, right, you could be 8 and you just win the 7-8 play-in. You get two, which, by the way, I mean, like, the top four have separated themselves, but who knows who will be 2 or 1. Or, you know, it's Minnesota, Thunder, Clippers, and Nuggets. So,
yeah any of those would be tough, but I think if they could, you know, they're not getting a great matchup. I just don't see that happening. So get to the 7, win that game, see what happens to the 2 seed. I just think that's kind of the top end projection, at least in my head, for them. Maybe you guys have a better one.
Marcus, final thoughts?
Yeah, I do feel like they've got the easiest schedule the rest of the way. So they get some of these cupcake teams, and you see what they've done when they played them, right? This 8-3 record is like, all right, you beat some teams. They need a lot of those. Yeah. Obviously, if you get 7 or 8, that's probably about as best as you can get. I do think, though, I don't know, I just don't feel so strongly about a lot of these teams. They're all the same team. They're all the same team. They're all, like, kind of mid and then good sometimes and not good. So, to me, more than anything, they just got to figure out a way to play better, especially in the fourth quarter. I could see 6. I could really see it. But then, you know, 6 and 5 are tied. So, 5 is technically on the table as 6 is. But, you know, it's going to be 9 or 10, right? That's what it's going
to
be.
That's what they need to try to avoid. They need to try to get 7-8 playing game at minimum. But, you know, who knows?
I feel like they could get to 6. The crazy part is, TK, I don't know that you want to get there. Because 6 is Denver.
No, well, but that's,
but we don't know. That's all
we
jumbled.
Don't know.
That's like, all jumbled.
You know, there's so
it's not actually that jumbled though. Like it's
there's a lot.
They're pretty good. I mean, yeah.
Well, I just mean, so I mean, you as like it's gonna get, be 1 and 2.
Oh yeah. But yeah, possibly. Yeah, no question.
But listen,
if you see them, I mean, they're 5 games behind the 5 seed, and you could make, you know, they played Phoenix really well, very close games, you know. With New Orleans, like, you never know what can happen. So I could see it, but I do think you could also see them, like, blowing games and having their own injuries. So it's really tough to see them having a 20-game stretch where they're playing really well. I think it's possible, though. It really all depends on Steph.
All right. Well, we're going to spin it forward next week. We'll do a plus minus coming out of the break. Everybody, enjoy your weekends. No football either, so you two really need to enjoy your weekend. unless you're locked in Indianapolis, which I don't think either of you are traveling there. So
no.
All right. We will talk to y'all next week.